Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I'm really excited because today we're going to talk about something that whether you are thinking about becoming a speaker, a seasoned speaker, a paid speaker, or maybe you waive your fee when you speak, whatever the case may be, the very first 6 minutes of when you start speaking is going to make all the difference to your speaking success. And we're going to talk about that today. So you're going to want to make sure you have a pen and paper. And I'm just going to give you a little sneak peek. You're going to want to make sure today of all days that you stay to the very end, because the gift that our guest is going to give today is so over the top, it absolutely blew my mind. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. So Heidi Park-Herner is a speaker, coach, and former psychotherapist, networking queen, and founder of Coffee Club Divas. Heidi has positioned herself as a leader in the arena of women empowerment, business networking, motivational speaking, sales training, and transformational change. Her coast-to-coast career spans 25-plus years and includes the roles as a career coach, group facilitator, certified seminar leader, radio host, actress, producer, marketing consultant, author, and keynote speaker. Whew, I need to take a breath just saying that. Her clients include Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, nonprofits, universities, hospitals, professional associations, and she is so passionate about mentoring women entrepreneurs and professionals. So let me bring her on. Thank you so much for being here today, Heidi Park-Herner.
Hi, Patty. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you and to be on your podcast. You are a celebrity, so I'm happy to be just in your presence here today.
Thank you so much. And I am really excited. You know, as I just shared with everybody when I was reading your very impressive bio, that you've done a lot of things and it's been a journey. Like, you couldn't have accomplished all of those things without there being somewhat of a journey. And because we're going to focus a little bit more on speaking success, I do want to actually share a little bit, because I think a lot of times when people hear speakers, you know, seasoned speakers and people that they really think are successful, right? They think, oh, they were just, you know, like how people think about networking, right? They think, oh, you're a master networker. They think like you were just born naturally that way. It's a skill, right? And so is becoming a speaker. Right. And becoming a good speaker doesn't happen naturally. There's some work to it. So let's talk a little bit first about your journey and through those things and how you became, you know, and how you got to just waking up one day and saying, you know what, this is how I want to serve and help women. Because you do it in so many ways. But today, in this way, let's kind of talk about how you got there, a little bit about the story and the journey.
Great. Thank you, Patty. And first of all, I just love the word when you say serve. Now, one thing that's missing from my bio as I'm eliciting myself, and I think I'm going to start sticking it in there, what people don't often know is that I call myself a recovering introvert. So I am not one of those people that was born with charisma, born with confidence. If anything else, I was the geeky little shy girl in the corner. And even at networking events, I used to hide in the ladies' room because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. So what I love to share with my clients and my audiences is that when you learn skills, tips, and tools. Anybody can become a speaker. If I can do it, you can do it. So I was not born this way at all. And I really, through time, working my past as a therapist and then getting into marketing for psychiatric facilities, I found a networking organization, loved networking, and actually worked behind the scenes at the networking, you know, on the phone and selling memberships, things of that nature. But I saw all these women as a women's networking group, and I saw how powerful they were and how they were owning their confidence by speaking. And I thought, you know what? I want to get out there. There's a little bit of a frustrated actress in me, I have to admit. So there's that part that, like, how can I get on stage? And I went the old-fashioned way. I hired a speaking coach. I kicked and screamed. I took classes. There was a part of me that said, how can I combine my master's in psychology? I love helping people. Now I'm good at marketing and selling. And part of me that wants to be on stage. How can I do that? So that's how the speaking journey began, and doing basically an internship and going on the road and crying a lot and getting basically booed off stage. I've gone to Toastmasters, made a fool of myself. I have the ugly stories that I like telling people only to let them know I've done it all. This did not just happen. And that's why I love empowering. If people have a whispering in their soul that they have a story, or they just want to get their services or products out there, that's a yes. And with training and specific tools and techniques, they can make a difference for themselves and for others.
I think that makes so much sense, because I remember that, for those who don't know my story, I accidentally became a speaker. But with that said, I really felt, I remember 12 years ago, thinking, oh, I could never be a speaker because I didn't think I was eloquent enough. And I remember hiring a speaking coach and saying that one of the reasons why I didn't think I could be a speaker was because I didn't want to wear what I call soap opera dresses, right? You know, I didn't want to, you know, wear those type of dress. That wasn't me. And, you know, stiletto pumps, although I do wear heels all the time, but not like stiletto pumps with soap opera dresses. And I thought, oh, I'm just not going to be like Patricia Fripp, right? I wasn't going to be able to get up there and be all eloquent, make a point, take a pause, you know, all of those things. And I was like, that just isn't me. And I remember that the speaking coach, see, I kind of feel like you called it old fashioned, but I feel like sometimes the old fashioned ways are still the ways that work.
That's right.
And she said to me, here's the key, Patty. And I never forgot it. And it was really the game changer for me. Mm-hmm. She said that it wasn't changing me to be in front of the audience. It was getting in front of audiences who needed to hear it the way I said it. And that changed everything for me, right? And all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense, right? You know, from marketing and every single thing else, really, honestly, you always want to be talking to your people. Does it do you any good to go, you know, for me, I'm a marketing person or whatever. It doesn't make any sense for me to go and speak to a whole conference of nurses that just want to get better at nursing and a certification, right? They're not marketing themselves. So really getting in front of your people and really knowing that you don't have to be like, if you see a speaker and you think, oh my gosh, I can't ever do that. Well, you don't have to. You need to be you.
Well, I love that. I want to speak to that. First of all, Patricia Fripp, I used to sit in her audiences and follow her. So absolutely. And I love what you're saying, because also so many people say to me, there's already so many people out there, Heidi, that are teaching communication skills, or they're teaching how to dress for success. What's going to make me different? And to speak to what you're saying, it's basically trusting the process. Yes, we need people like Patty to help us market. But to put ourselves out there, it doesn't matter if there's a million other people doing what you're doing. It is about trusting the right people will show up to hear the message that you have to give in the way that you deliver it. And I think that's a beautiful concept. And that's a mindset concept, because that stops a lot of people. That's an excuse. Oh, well, there's too many people in that field. Or I love the soap opera dress that you mentioned. And be your authentic self, and the right audience will show up. You have a story. We all have a story. So trust the process.
I totally agree with you. And I always like to say in everything, it doesn't matter what we're actually talking about. The bottom line really honestly is we're not trying to reinvent ice cream. You're just trying to create your own flavor, right? Some people still love vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. And then people like all kinds of exotic flavors, right? You just need to be your flavor, and people who love that flavor will find you. Then you just need to make sure that you're out there so they can find you, right?
Exactly. Out there. And, you know, where I like to come in, because I didn't know how to get up there and start speaking, I'm a firm believer. And I think my introverts and my logicals like the fact I'm a template queen. And what I mean by that, it's just to jumpstart you, because people were like, okay, well, how do I speak? What do I do? What do I say? And to give kind of training wheels, which helps with the confidence in which way to go to get your talk started, how to tell stories, how to close. Because I know many of your listeners, like you said, are beginning speakers or seasoned speakers. And the bottom line is, what are we selling? Are we selling ourselves? Are we selling a message of inspiration? Are we selling our books? Are we selling our products? Are we selling our services? And how to create that in a way that's tangible and deliverable.
I think that is so true. And I think that while there does need to be somewhat of a structure, yes, right? You know, winging it is never really what you want to do, right? But even now, 12 years of being a speaker, I always, if I'm giving a talk for 90 minutes, when I'm putting my presentation together, I think about it like an hour and 10 minutes, because I know that I've been doing it long enough now that when I get in front of that audience, I want to be able to connect with them. And even though this is what I'm presenting on, you just can kind of sometimes tell where you need to go a little more in depth here, a little more here. And as you speak longer and you get more confident about it, you know where you can go off script, so to speak, right? You know, you don't want to memorize your speech. You just want to know what you're talking about. And it's okay. Sometimes you have to tell this different story here. You're in front of this group of people. You're like, oh, this story will work really good here. That serves them. And so it's not like you create this. I know a lot of people think this. You create this signature speech. It's the only speech you give. You memorize it, right? And then you get up there like a, you know, like a mannequin, and you just open your mouth and you say that. I mean, that's not it.
No.
That is so not it.
That is so not it. And a couple of the nuggets that you shared, I do not believe in winging it at all. I do believe in preparing, but never memorizing. We can feel it. And the magic word that you said, that I always like to say a ding, 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 is connect. And that's just it. So that you are prepared, you know your material, your stories. But when you're up there in front of the audience, the first step is to let go of yourself and to be present with the audience. I'll come up with stories that I never even thought of before. Except when I'm in front of that audience, they will feel the connection. And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it creative. And that's what makes it special. That's why you, Patty, as a professional speaker, myself, I can do the same talk over and over again. And people are like, aren't you going to get bored? Every audience has their own personality. It's a whole different flavor, back to your ice cream analogy, that comes forth. So connecting to the audience is number one. They will feel it. Nobody just wants, you know, that's another no-no. A lot of people who bring their PowerPoints and they just read their PowerPoints. Stop it. No, that doesn't work.
You know, I think that one of the things too that really helped me thinking back then is I think a lot of times when someone becomes a speaker, right, maybe until they get, you know, a little seasoning under them, they think it's about them. It's never about us. It's always about our audience, right? And I think that when I became a speaker, I remember that every time, like when I tell this, people are like, really, Patty? For 18 months, Heidi, 18 months, every time I spoke, doesn't matter if I was speaking for 15 minutes or an hour and a half, I violently got sick before I got on stage. Every single time until one of the times I was, you never know who you're going to meet in the bathroom. Conversations in the bathroom have changed my life. And then she said to me, she said, how long has this been going on for you? And I said, oh, at that time, it was like 17 or 18 months. And I told her, and she said, can I share? Are you open to receive? And I said, absolutely. And she said, you're still making it be about you. Like you're thinking they're judging you. It's all about what you think, you know? And she said, but it's not about you. You need to get on that stage. And when you walk out, You need to just center yourself and say, this isn't about me at all. Once I started doing that and taking that moment and saying, this is not about me, let me serve the audience and hope that what I say will change somebody else's life, that it's the transformational thing. You know, sometimes the thing that you're sharing, other people are praying for, right? And you just have to know that you're just kind of the instrument, right? So let me just connect in a way that if this is what they need to hear, that I can say it in the way that they need to receive it. And once I made it not about me, once I really understood that, it changed everything for me.
You know, I love that. And I have a story about that, a little story I'm going to share. But before even doing that, that's this whole concept. And it's a mindset concept. Because people are like, when they get anxiety, to breathe and all that stuff. And we do that. And one thing that I always encourage is do a warm-up act for yourself, even before you get in front of the audience. Is that listening to rock and roll, or is that doing deep meditation? Just like singers before they sing, just like actors before they get on stage. A lot of times people don't even think about that as a speaker, that they need to warm up. But to your point, this is when I was working in Los Angeles for a wonderful women's networking organization that's still in existence today. And again, I was working for them, and I was not a speaker at the time. However, I would get up in front of the quote unquote members audience just to read the announcements. What's coming up? We have a meeting next week. So my boss at the time wanted me to read the announcements, and I would shake and my hands would shake with the papers and, you know, almost getting violently sick like you. I would be so terrified to do this and look out at the audience and just be a mess. Well, my boss came up to me after one of these speaking engagements, or these, and this again, I was up there for 10 minutes. And she said, Heidi, I know why you are such a terrible speaker. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? Thanks a lot. She goes, and this is a strong word, you are narcissistic. And I'm like, you know, I'm a therapist. I'm like, what do you mean narcissistic? That's pretty dramatic. And she said, exactly to your point, Patty, she said, you're making it all about you. I go, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm reading these notes. I'm reading just, you know, your notes. I'm just reading the script. She goes, no, you're so worried about yourself. Is your lipstick on? How you're caring? You're making it about you, 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 that you're not there to support the audience. And after I kind of walked away in shame the first time, just like you, Patty, I got it. And this is, we're going deep already with the speaking stuff. It's, I call it the sweet surrender. So when you get on stage, I know that I'm prepared and I have to let go of Heidi, the ego. And sometimes I say that's where it becomes a spiritual experience. Be with the audience, Heidi. Be present with the audience, Heidi, and trust what comes out. And we're on the same page with the stories. And it's a concept for people that they have to kind of wrap their head around. But once you get it, the nervousness can go away and you're present. So sweet surrender.
I love that. I've never heard that phrase just like that as it pertains to this. And I love that. Absolutely love it. So one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to kind of lead ourselves right to that, is what you say, the first 6 minutes to speaking success. Like, it is really all about the first 6 minutes. And I don't think people really realize it, but it's that way in pretty much almost anything you do, right? I mean, if you, you know, when they say now, when people go to a website, when somebody's watching a webinar, all of that, right? Right away, we make our decision. But the reality is when you're speaking, it's more than that. Because when you're speaking, like you said, you're selling, whether it's you, whether you're the face of your company, whether it's a service or whatever you're going to do, you don't want to blow it in the very beginning, right? So these first 6 minutes, it's kind of like setting you up for success. So let's kind of talk about those. So can you take us through some of the things that happen in the first 6 minutes, the do's and don'ts?
The do's and the don'ts. And first of all, why? Because people, you know, a lot of people know public speaking, you need to start with an opening, or you need to start with some sort of hook. Why 6 minutes? And in real life, 6 minutes is a long time. We all know first impressions, within 1 minute, people make judgments about you. So the audience will give you 6 minutes. And my whole concept is if you don't have your audience in the first 6 minutes, get off the stage. But here are the couple first, before I even get into the specifics, the psychological reasons. We have to be our own warm-up act. Here's what happens most times, and usually, and I know, Patty, you could tell too. I could tell in the first minute if a speaker has been trained or not. Most speakers get up there and, you know, they want to deliver that information. So they get up there. Hi, I'm Heidi Park-Kerner. So here's number one on networking. We're not with you. We're checking you out. Huh. I wonder how old that woman is. Those shoes are kind of interesting. We have to know people are judging us. And I don't mean good or bad. They're not with us. We need to quietly sell the audience on us so that there's that trust, credibility, and likability. Plus, if there's a little bit of your nervousness there, it warms you up at the same time. So my whole concept is that it's been proven you need 6 minutes. So the 6 minutes need to be deliverable. So here are some of the nuggets just to kind of give a tease as to what needs to be in the 6 minutes. One, you need to have some sort of hook. You need to bring the audience in, whether you want to be gimmicky, whether you want to just start asking them questions, you're doing it in a way so that the audience can start connecting to you. Now, I know, Patty, you and I, we're in marketing. We're all about it's okay to sell. I tell people when you're doing a speaking engagement, you are selling them from step one, even your service. So when I ask questions, so let me give you an example. So everyone's in front of my audience right now, and let's just say they're all potential speakers or working on their speaking. I ask them to raise their hands, and I say something like, let me start with a couple of questions. So first of all, raise your hands. How many of you are wanting to perfect your speaking? They raise their hands. Now look at underneath that, they're potential clients for me. They just engaged from step one, my first question, that they're saying, yes, I need help. Make sense? You know, another question. How many of you are getting paid as speakers? Okay, good. How many of you want to go to the next level in your speaking? How many of you, when you're doing a speaking engagement, the audience loves you? And you know this, Patty. You know it. When we are on, I'm snapping my fingers. They're laughing at our jokes. We're on fire. And at the end, they're applauding and maybe giving us a standing ovation. But then, nobody's coming up and asking for your business card. No one's coming up and buying your books. All the hands go up. So right from step one, I have said to them, the psychology part, let go of looking at Heidi and let's put it back in your head and start thinking about what is your pain about the subject. Can you speak to that, Patty? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I always call that technique getting everybody on the bus, because now you know that you're talking to every person. So I think questions in the beginning, that has always worked really well for me for what I do, right? Because everybody has that. And an example of that is I remember one time I was giving this workshop on list building, right? So we were all talking about that. And I remember in the beginning when I asked them, how many of you here have the most robust list? You're so happy, like you have the great conversion rate, you know, and then they raise their hand. And then I said, how many of you here have a list of, you know, not as much as you want it to be? And you're just really putting your head in the sand and you're like, nope, you know, and I kind of talked about that a little. And then the third question was, well, how many of you, like sometimes your list goes really great. You're adding 5 to 10 people every single day. And then there's other times, you know, it's like crickets. So pretty much every one of those questions was like everybody in the room, right? You know, so I think the sooner you can get everybody on the bus, now they're listening because you're talking to every single one of them.
Exactly. So it's a tool. It's a technique. There are other ones. You can tell a story. You can use a prop. But like you, I go back to the basics. I like to pull them in. It warms me up, the questions. I see how they respond. Even virtually, I get a sense of the audience. So that's always number one. Number two, I call it, it's one of my power phrases called the purpose. And the purpose of today, the purpose of this workshop, the purpose of my being here today, what that does is set the stage. I know, Patty, you know, we've seen so many speakers and we've sat there and we're like, what's going on? Where is the speaker taking me? I have no idea what's happening. The word The purpose is a power word. It sets the foundation why we're here so people can feel relieved. And after listening to this podcast, when you're out there in life, you will hear. It's like a speaker thing. You'll hear speakers use it. You'll hear ministers use it. You'll see it in books, the word, the purpose. Also within the 6 minutes, you want to let them know what they're getting. Don't get into the material yet. Tease them. Have them on the edge of their seat. You know, here's what we're going to be doing today. It's basically sharing the objectives. And don't give away the store. Today, we're going to be sharing the 7 secrets on how to being a powerful speaker. Pulling them in. It's an art. It's a psychology. It's marketing language. And it works. Now, within the 6 minutes, here's the juicy part. Now you've hooked us in. Now we're on the edge of our seats and it's only been a couple of minutes. Now we want to hear what I call your credibility and your vulnerability. Why? Let me take a pause here for a moment. This 6 steps that I've developed is based on our 4 personality styles. Now we all know, and the psychologist in me is like, we all have many personalities, right? But in your audience, there's 4 personalities, okay? And many speakers forget to speak to all of them. I learned this the hard way. I'm going to tell a little story. When I was on the road as a speaker, you know, I have a big personality now. I like to have fun. I would get my audience up and dancing, clapping on their tables, woohoo, let's dance. And some of the feedback I would get in the evaluations, where are the charts? Where are the graphs? Where are their statistics? And I would think, who wants that stuff? It's boring. As I learned the hard way, and this is, I've been doing this long enough that we had overheads, okay? You know, not PowerPoints, we had overheads. I learned the hard way, and the company I worked for let it be known and trained me that I was only talking to half the audience. People that like fun and let's dance, and, you know, we call them socializers.
They're usually the people that are like us.
Exactly. So again, talk about ego. I wasn't taking into consideration other parts. There's going to be one area as a speaker that you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and realize. So when I learned the 6-step opening and when I learned to make sure that I address each personality, that's when I've got, whether you're logical, whether you like to have fun, it all has to be in the 6 minutes. So that goes back to my storytelling. Within the 6 minutes, it's important for the direct personalities, the logical personalities, they want to know, well, who is this woman? What's her credibility? We share our credibility. I've been doing this for 25 years. I have a master's in psychology. I'm a certified seminar leader. We build the story. Even when Patty gives me a beautiful, talking to the listeners now, even when Patty's giving me a beautiful bio, we're not all 100% present, right? That's my thing. So I would build in and say something like, as Patty said, I've been on the road for 25 years. We build in our credibility for that part of the audience that wants to know, is she educated? Who is this girl? Now, within the 6 minutes, we tell our vulnerability. We tell our story. Because the socializers, the relators, the way, as you use the word, connect to us is through our heart. And through, like, that's why right away I share my truth that I've been bullied on stage. I used to cry with my evaluations. I ran out of Toastmasters and never went back. I teach for Toastmasters now, but I was so humiliated. I never went back to a meeting. So that you're relatable. So those are parts of my 6-step opening. And then after, and I take out the kitchen timer. I make my clients do it. You have 6 minutes. And in the 6 minutes, when it goes ding, 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 then you say to your audience, let's get started. So it's building the story, building the connection. You are your own warm-up act.
That is powerful and beautiful. I hope everybody took lots and lots of notes. I know for a fact this is a podcast episode you're going to want to watch over and over again so that you can stop, write your notes. Because I think that sometimes when people listen to podcasts, no, you're listening and you're trying to take all that in, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I always listen a little differently. And it's kind of funny, but the person who was my speaking coach, which is Ava Diamond, One of the things, she became a very, very good friend of mine, and she can type at like, not just sound, but word for word. Like, it was like crazy how fast she can type. And we would go to events together. We never actually spoke together on the same stage, which is kind of funny, but we did go to events together. And we had this really great deal because it's all about how we intake stuff, right? That's why you need to do all those, like what you just said. But one of the things that would happen is a lot of times when you take notes, you stop listening, right? Because you're, again, thinking about yourself. So what would happen, and that's on both sides of the mic, right? So when her and I would go to events, she would actually take notes on everything that they said, like literally, she could type so fast. But for me, I just took notes on strategy for her and me. So my pad would say Ava, Patty, and I would take notes, and I wouldn't worry about taking the notes of everything. I would just take notes on what they said. In my mind, I would just think strategies and I'd write those down so that after I could look at her notes and actually fill in the blank. Now, when you're listening to a podcast, it's a little bit different. But remember, today, while you're hearing her, she's going to inspire you. You know, by the end of this podcast, you know, if you've been thinking, oh, maybe I can't do it, or maybe I don't have the skills, you're going to know that you do. Mm-hmm. And you're going to know what to do. And believe me, when I say the gift she's going to give you at the very end, boy, it's like if we just stopped right here and gave you the gift, this would probably be like the best hour that you have spent if you want to be a speaker, or even if you're a seasoned speaker. But there is so much more to come. But I want you to think about it. Go back and listen to this podcast again. And now think about how can you apply what she is teaching, what the stories have kind of made you think about for you. And then make sure that you connect with her, take advantage of her gift. And I'm going to tell you, by the end of the week, you're going to be like, man, this was a breakthrough for me. So thank you so much for just what you've shared so far, which I think is really, really good in those first 6 minutes. But what if somebody really doesn't feel like they have a very good speech? Or what if they don't feel like they have a story? Because I remember in the beginning, for me, the storytelling was what was so hard. And I used to say to Ava, which comes first, the story, write the speech? Like, which is it? Like, you know, do they all have to be my stories, you know, and stuff like that? So storytelling is so important. And I think there really is an art to storytelling. But again, it's learning how to tell a story. And we all know people that in our life, right, that when they tell a story, like, oh my gosh, my husband, who is not a speaker, but he is a great storyteller, right? So I think, you know, can you speak a little bit to that?
Yes. And I'm the same. There is an art to telling stories. I am not a natural storyteller. Again, I got coaching on stories. And here's the whole concept that I love. One of those little ditties. Stories sell. Facts tell. Many people, and I work with many people in the insurance industry, they just want to share facts, facts, facts. Even if the audience are all insurance people, they start tuning out after a while. So learning how to tell stories, as you said, is an art in itself. How do you do that? When you come up with whatever your point may be, for example, we were talking about the point of getting nervous and you shared a story, don't make it about you. I shared a story about not making it about me. We all have different stories. So there's also the belief in yourself that even if you don't feel like your story is important, it is, but you use a story to support your talking point. And a story has a beginning, middle, and end. And address the story so that it's quietly selling you, your services. It could be somebody else's story. It could be a great testimonial. The one thing I do, what I have learned about storytelling, is we have to take people there. That's why, again, this was not natural for me. So your husband's a good storyteller. My husband's a great storyteller. They take you there on the journey. So instead of saying, you know, well, this girl also used my speaking services and she's a great speaker now, we need to say there was a shy woman and she was 38 years old. And when she walked into the room, you would never really notice her. So we have to take them there. It's an art. It's a skill. I still have to take time out to prepare my stories. I run my stories by my husband. Does this story make sense? This is the work. But then when it plays out in the audience, when you tell a story about yourself or somebody else, that's the magic. you won't hear a pin drop. People love stories. So it's so important to get a coach, learn how to tell a story, practice with a friend, with a partner, spouse, to get those stories to support your point. So it's not just a left field story.
You know, and I think that there's a couple things about that that you really said, because I think that a couple times in the beginning, right, you know, like when you're a speaker, when you become a speaker and now you hear other speakers, in the beginning, you're learning, right? You know, so it's all about the information, just like everybody else in the audience. But once you are a speaker, when you hear other speakers, it becomes so much more than that. Now you're watching how they deliver and how do they do this and how do they do that, right? And I remember early on, one thing that really made a difference for me is I heard this one speaker and she told this really great story. But here's what happened. She told this really great story and she got everybody feeling all that emotion, but she didn't close the loop. She didn't take them out of that. So if you're going to tell a story that's going to get people in the mucky muck, as I like to say, you got to get them out of the mucky muck at the end of that to get them back for the next thing that you're going to talk about. And sometimes people forget that and they do that and then they go on with their point. Like, this is why you should listen to me. They're still stuck in the mucky muck, right? You know, you have to get them out of that. So that was like one important thing. And where that really affected me, and I have to tell you, 12 years later, this still gets me choked up. And I'll share this little story. So I was giving this talk and I was talking about lifestyle by design. So that's super important to me. And I was talking about that. And I noticed this girl, and I had only been a speaker at that point, like maybe a year or so. So I was still doing the violently ill thing. Yes. And I noticed this girl in the front had these tears running down her face. And it really kind of affected me. Like, here I am, I see her in the front, you know, and out there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I say? You know, all these things are going through my mind while I'm trying to deliver my talk. And at the end, she got up and like started running out of the room, really freaked me out. So I go running after her because I just couldn't help it. And I stop her and I said, you know, I didn't know any better then. Was it something I said? Right. Right. Was something I said?
Right.
You know, I felt like she needed a hug, you know. And she said to me, she said, you know what, Patty? And I said, what? She said, I love what you said about lifestyle, but I think so many speakers, she wasn't talking about me. She says, so many speakers think when they're talking about it, that here's what you can have, here's what you can do, whatever. They think everybody wants to take 10 vacations a year. They think everybody wants to be a millionaire. They think everybody wants it. She says, can I tell you what is important to me? I was like, sure. I see, I'm already getting choked up again.
Yeah.
She said, here's what makes me pick up the phone every day. So that was when we were still like picking up the phone, right?
Yes, in the old days.
Here's what makes me pick up the phone every day. What I want more than anything is to have the appliances in my house match, so I'm not embarrassed to bring people to my house. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it just really got me. And in that moment, I thought to myself, yes, Patty, you need to realize that when people come and hear speakers, the reason they're there is so different for every one of them. And you can't forget that some people just want to go to their kids' soccer games. Mm-hmm. Some people just want to take one vacation a year. Not everybody wants to be a millionaire. Not everybody wants to do that. So I think it is really, really important to remember that everybody has their story too. Mm-hmm. And you need to be really careful that you are not also speaking to or taking them to a place that they're not ready for yet. And maybe they will, you know, 2 years from now, when they've got to hear, they're going to see further and say, oh, now I want that. But where they are right now, maybe they're not. Some of the people in the audience may, some not. But I have to tell you, that story to this day still chokes me up. And I've never forgotten that.
Well, I love, you know, to speak to the story. And again, it's kind of like the lady in the ladies' room that gave you that feedback. I think we have a little theme going on here today, which is not make it about us, because you and I are both driven and we want these bigger things in life. And we forget sometimes, and this is a good lesson for me right now. I mean, I always want everybody to play bigger and go to the next level. And I have some people saying, but Heidi, I want to be number two. I don't want to be number one. And I remember a woman told me this years ago when I was thinking, how can you want to be number two? And it took me a while because that's not what I want. But you're right. Our audiences are the different personalities. They're different levels. But again, I think wrapping it around, trusting the process of who's in the right audience, but to speak to all of them. And sometimes, you know, I'll do like, I just did yesterday, the other day, a work-life balance, stress management for all high-level executives. I know they've taken these seminars before. What do we do? I've told them a lot of what I'm going to share is basic. You already know it, but sometimes they're just reminders based on where you want to go with it. So it's understanding our audiences and getting our own agenda out of the way. I think that's a great theme for all of our seasoned speakers, new speakers, and people that are contemplating stepping into the speaking business.
I love that. And now I'm going to shift us a little bit for those seasoned speakers so that they know that we've got some super great nuggets for them too, mm-hmm. right? And even if you're not quite seasoned, that's okay. Write them down because you're going to get there, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember in a conversation that you and I had that you were talking about, and I loved it too. Mm-hmm. You were talking about how every single speech you give, you're already prepping the person who hired you for the next speech. You were telling me, oh, yes, I'm already telling about, oh, yes, I'm speaking to you. And here's another thing that I do and how you seated. That's a speaker word. So for those of you who might not know, and I'll have her explain what that means. But you didn't just seed it with the audience, but you seeded it with the person who hired you to come and speak. And I thought, I have never heard somebody explain it better about how you get booked more often by knowing how to use the techniques that if you're a seasoned speaker, you're already using those techniques with your audience, right? Through mm-hmm. serving, right? Of mm-hmm. course, with serving and supporting them. But you can also do it to get yourself booked more. Because I have to tell you, very few people actually talk about that. And when you said that day, it was really kind of funny because when we got off that call, I thought, I do that, but I didn't realize I was doing it, right? You know what I mean? I'm in marketing. So for me, I just naturally did it because I was like my own client. So to me, that just made sense to me. But once you said it, the way you said it really made me realize I don't know a lot of other people who are doing it. So can you talk a little bit about that? I hope I gave you enough of what
I understood. Oh, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And what I love what you're saying too, is that some of you may be doing it naturally. So my job is to remind you to do it consciously. So when I go in and I'm working with my audiences, aside from having the audiences fall in love with me so that they want to bring me back, the audiences are not the decision maker. So the decision maker is my key person that I want to, first of all, this decision maker is not always, and usually they're not even in the audience because they let their employees learn. So I set the intention for the audience to be like, wouldn't this be great? Or wouldn't this be the next step? I do it all the time. So just to define the word, if you don't know, because it is a speaker word, seed, what that means is planting the seed. And when I'm working on a seminar, I just did this the other day, whatever it is, knowing the audience, thinking about the audience and thinking what might be next for them. If they need a stress management seminar, what could be the next piece for them. So I'm very clear and prepared before I even go into that seminar to let it be known. And I'll give you the secret of what I just did the other day, what I have coming up. Now, let me just tell you some secrets of the trade. And this is stuff that I've learned along the way from all the gurus. I like to take credit for everything. So don't just, a lot of people just be like, oh yeah, this person hired me. If they're at the meeting, you need to go over to them. You need to check in with them. You need to thank them for the opportunity. And do your preparation, your needs assessment beforehand. What do they hope to get out of the seminar? What do you want your audience to do differently? What do you want your employees to do differently? So first of all, I hope that there's a needs assessment. This is for the seasoned speakers prior to the audience. So we're just not going in with a canned piece. If that person is at the meeting, you meet and greet. You build that connection. You let it be known the excitement. During the breaks, again, if that person is available, how's it going so far? Do you like where I'm going with this? What would you suggest? Is that you build that relationship so you're customizing. So that's how you seed. Now, how you seed an audience, for example. So I did a work-life balance the other day, all day for corporate via Zoom. And I was like, geez, I've been doing a lot of seminars with this company. What else? I've done present yourself like a pro. I've done networking skills. I've done stress management. And now work-life balance towards the end of the year. What do I think they need? What do these corporate women need? Oh, They need the Queen's Academy. The Queen's Academy is a program that I offer that's a 5-week course where we can dive in deeper and we can not just do a one-day seminar. We can have a 5-week course and 2 hours a week and keep each other accountable. So I thought, ding, 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 I'm going to see the Queen's Academy. So what did I do? These are tricks of the trade. Two of the women that were actually in my audience, I knew they're in my Queen's Academy right now. So I encouraged them. They didn't know they were seating, and I wasn't doing anything disingenuous. I had asked them prior to the meeting, hey, would you mind sharing your experience, why you signed up for the Queen's Academy? I'm putting my hands up as a cup right now. Use testimonials. Testimonials from the audience is a way to seed the next steps. It's called social proof, and it's okay to ask people to do that. Within my 6-step opening, I acknowledge, I go, and by the way, I've got two women here who are in my Queen's Academy. Give them a round. You may not know what the Queen's Academy is, but we're going to be talking about it later. So that was bullet one. I set the stage. Later on, I gave each of these women an opportunity to speak for a few minutes about the Queen's Academy. And then as the day went on, I seated. So how many of you are feeling like after today, you need more support? The audience raised their hands. How many of you feel like you probably need accountability for a few weeks to help you? The audience raised their hand. How many of you feel like you might be interested in the Queen's Academy? Would that be something you would like me to talk to your bosses about? Hands went up. So right now we're working on a Queen's Academy in the beginning of the year because I see it. I'll tell you why, Patty. If I did not upsell my corporate clients, they adore me. They would never call me. They're not thinking like that. They're busy in their life. It's up to me. I'm an entrepreneur. So seeding is what I do on a regular basis to sell myself and the next steps. And it works, but it's putting those pieces in place. It doesn't just happen organically.
Well, it's not like just a conversation. It's an intentional conversation thinking. And it does come from service and support because I personally truly believe that if a speaker, I didn't understand this in the beginning because I thought, oh, they're just going to sell us, right? You know, I was one of them too, like everybody else, right? But here's what I believe. I believe I just spent this time, whether it is time in my day virtually, whether it is that I got on a plane and I flew somewhere, whatever, I never walk to an event, no matter how I am experiencing that event and walk in there and think, oh, you better prove it to me why I need you. I walk into every single event. Why am I even there? I walk into there thinking, please have the steps for whatever the next thing is that I want to do. That's what I'm there. So I believe that if a speaker doesn't offer us a way to take the next step, you're kind of doing us a disservice. In actuality, you just gave us this great information. We just had our eyes opened, our heart opened. You just served us, and now you're just going to leave us without giving us a way to take the next step? They could say yes, they could say no.
Absolutely. So this is not to be, because the last thing I want to do is be salesy, and you let people off the hook. If you need support, if you want to go to the next step, and that's one of my takeaways. I remember saying this was just on the other day, you know, and it's not right for everybody, and you may not have the time for it, but if you want extra support, so the women who have reached out are the ones that need support and they're excited and they're writing me emails. Please, I need accountability. So it's the gift. And that's what we need to realize when we're in marketing, when we're our own business and being a speaker and not just waiting for the phone to ring. There's sources out there. There's speakers bureaus out there. There's agents out there. There's networking. There's a lot of ways to get speaking engagements. And a lot of these techniques I teach also for just doing your videos. Doing your videos for social media, you could still do your 6-step opening. The one thing I just, a side note, because some of you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, Heidi, you say that it's 6 minutes, but you know what? We know videos should be short. We know the video shouldn't be, you know, 6 minutes and I'm just doing my opening. The beauty of any speaking engagement is it can be extended to an 8-hour seminar and it can be shrunk to 1 or 2 minutes. So you could just do 3 steps. If I'm doing a video, I might ask a couple questions. How many of you? How many of you? How many of you? The purpose of the video today is to give you one secret for speaking success and give you the secret, share a quickie little story, and then a call to action. That's the close. You know, you said earlier, Patty, and about don't just leave them open. Don't leave them open emotionally. Like the therapist maybe would never want to do that, wrap that around. But don't, this is a good way for us, as I know we're going to be start wrapping up soon, is don't just be end the talk. And I see seasoned speakers do this. Bye, everybody. Thank you for coming. If what's the offer? What's the next step? Wrap it around. What's the call to action? So that's an important piece.
I think there should be a call to action in everything. And I see people all the time go on a podcast, get on a stage, be at a networking meeting, being able to give a 5-minute presentation, whatever the case may be, with no call to action. Call to action doesn't have to be something that you're selling. It could be getting on a call. It could be even something that is free, get this checklist, whatever, but some type of call to action to move them forward where they just can implement that information that you gave. So I really do love that. And I think that what you did just talk about was a gift. So speaking of gifts, I have to tell you, I think I told you guys I seeded that at the very beginning for you. See how we've been doing the seeding, the close, the 6 minutes through this whole podcast. So once you've learned this now and you've taken notes, go listen to it again and you'll see how we modeled it for you through this whole podcast episode for you. But really, let's talk a little bit about your gift. So tell us what it's called, who it's for, what it's about. And then so everybody knows, you'll just have to go to the button. We have a button right there for you to be able to click to be able to take advantage of her free gift, no less. Unbelievable.
Yes.
That you're doing all that for free, but go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'm giving away the store. And I feel like it because there's a lot of speakers out there and I believe in the power of templates. So I have downloadable audio and it's a combination of 3 hours where and it includes handouts. And it's really a blueprint to take you from zero to hero. And that you can sit down and even in the audio, I say things like, let's take a pause, stop, you know, the audio right now, go take some notes. So I walk you through how to create not just your 6-step opening, but your signature talk. And I call a signature talk 20, 25 minutes. What I love about the audio, it's in front of a live audience. So you hear juicy questions, you hear a little bit of pushbacks, you hear a little, but it makes it, I think, more interesting. But make no mistake, I walk you through the process so that afterwards you should have confidence and charisma and a talk in place that you can actually take on the road. So it's the giveaway. It's downloadable. Usually I sell that for a fee, but I know I wanted to give your speakers a gift. And again, knowing that often if you create the talk, if you need polish, see, this is where my call to action. You create the talk, but sometimes it's like, well, I want to perfect it, or I want somebody to hear my stories, or I want to work on my tone of voice, that I'm always available to support and serve if needed.
I love that. And thank you so much. And again, we're going to have that button for you to just push, make it nice and easy. So as if we did not give you enough, as if we did not serve and support you, you know, this is the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. And so we always turn the mic over to our guests and ask them, what is your number one marketing, media, or money strategy?
My number one, and because there's a reason they call me the networking queen, is building business relationships face-to-face. And face-to-face is Zoom these days, coffee, it's meeting. That's how I get all of my speaking engagements, all my networking. I do all the social media thing. I'm on speakers bureaus, things of that nature. I get some gigs that way. But when people, when you build that likability, you build those connections, that's when people trust you and like you and refer to you. So I believe in the old-fashioned way for marketing and my media connections, Patty. We met each other through networking. We set up a coffee date virtually. That's how we're connected. That's why I'm here today. Okay, so sharing my tools on networking, and that's the way to make money. So though that's it. Old school, get out there, virtually shake hands and say hello.
I love that. And so how can people connect with you? I know they're going to want to. So Let's make it easy for them.
Yeah, make it easy. So you just go to my website, Heidi Inspired, H-E-I-D-I-I-N. So there's two I's. They're HeidiInspired.com. You can also, I offer discovery sessions on there. You can snoop around. I have upcoming Queen's Academy, but that's a way to, I would love to hear. And I'd love some of your questions. If you have any questions, please email me. I'm very passionate about this and I'm seasoned. I'm in a position in my life that I want to support and mentor other people to get their gifts out there and to share their stories with confidence, with charisma, and with courage.
Absolutely. So again, you guys are going to want to take advantage of her gift, and you're also going to want to go to her website, HeidiInspired.com. So thank you so much for being here with me today, Heidi, and being just so generous and sharing your zone of genius. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you. This was fun. You great interview and fun bantering. And I love hanging out with other speakers. So thank you. It inspires me.
Oh, that is awesome. And while we're thanking, we want to thank the audience. We're so thankful that you are here today. And I have a question for you. If you have ever wanted a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract high qualified ideal clients? Then I invite you to take the marketing, media, and money assessment. And in 3 minutes or less, you will know where you're excelling, where you can make a few changes, and what steps to take to achieve massive results. Just go to m3bizquiz.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Marketing, Media, Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platforms. Today's been just so fabulous having you here, Heidi.
Thank you, Patty.
For everybody else, make it a phenomenal day. And remember, if today is not phenomenal for you, you have the power to change it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.